This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon, produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. It is our fervent hope that this program will be a source of encouragement to you to turn to the Scriptures alone for God's truth. What is the source for our beliefs? The topic of authority remains as our focus in this week's cover article. Here with his guest, Greg Durrell, is T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what he says about himself, for what he says about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner on today's program is Greg Durrell. Greg is pastor of Heritage Bible Church of Gretna, Louisiana, and co-founder of Reaching Catholics for Christ, and host of the daily radio program, As It Is Written. Greg, we've been covering the topic of authority for the last few weeks. The issue is, regarding one's spiritual life, one's eternal destiny, in whom or in what do we place our trust? People, for the most part, and that would include many professing Christians, don't put in much time resolving that issue in their lives. Most give more consideration to buying a household appliance than to where they will spend eternity. Why do you think that is, Greg?
Well, you know, most people just make a tremendous assumption. They assume that religion is something completely separated from reality. And so you have all sorts of people, for example, who will believe in evolution, believe that they evolved from some sort of caveman or some sort of monkey, and they'll believe that that's the origin of life. And at the same time, they have Adam and Eve and the biblical account of creation, for example, filed away somewhere else, and they can never make the leap to put the two together. And so we have people that just go through life thinking religion is just something that's, for some people it's mythological, for some people it's just not reality. And so as a result, you don't worry about religious things either until you're faced with a catastrophe in your life or you're facing perhaps the end of your life.
Yeah, I know people who would tell me right to my face that, well, look, a faith, it's kind of like, you know, wishful thinking. It's what you kind of hope for, but you don't put a lot of credence in it. It's not really that credible from a logical standpoint or a reason standpoint.
Right.
But the scripture is very clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we approach it as wishful thinking, they're not going to look at what's down the line.
But, well, you know, so many people's religions are created to such a degree that you have to really do nothing, coming up as a Roman Catholic. As long as I made my Christmas and Easter duty, in my mind, I'd covered the bases, and the eternal destiny thing would be relegated to the religious people, to the clerics, to the priest, etc. And that was not my responsibility. That's someone else. That's what they were getting paid for, to take care of my religious end. And then obviously, when I felt convicted or I felt there was a need, then you would just tap into that. So again, it was not a way of life. It was not something that was internal. It was always something that was external.
Right. There's another aspect to that I find interesting, Greg. Some would say, well, I believe this about the church. I believe that the church teaching on this, I believe it on that, but I don't buy it. For example, I don't buy indulgences, they might say. I'm talking about Roman Catholics, practicing Roman Catholics. I don't really buy indulgence, and I'm not too sure about the church's view on contraception and purgatory. Well, that might be. Now, that's interesting, because if you don't trust, really place your faith in the church with regard to some major issues of the church, why would you trust the church with regard to salvation, with regard to how they say you're going to get to heaven? It seems confusing at best, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I like to refer to those people as cafeteria Catholics. Mm-hmm. They kind of look at their religion, and whether it's a Catholic or a Baptist, whoever it is, there's all sorts of people that are, in essence, first, they are hypocritical because they don't really believe what they profess to believe. But then, moreover, we have so many today that will just pick and choose. And in essence, they're not really Catholic, or they're not really Methodist or Jehovah's Witness or whatever. they become little religions unto themselves. Mm-hmm. In other words, they determine what is truth and what is not. They become an authority unto themselves. And that's, as we've been talking about, that's the ultimate issue. It's an issue of authority. If God is real, if he's revealed himself, and if he's revealed himself through a written record, through his word, then do we accept him for who he claims to be and what he's claimed to have accomplished and what he expects out of us? Or do we say, well, I'll take the good points, but everything else I'll just kind of make up as I go along?
Mm-hmm.
Most people choose the latter path, and they simply kind of make it up as they go along.
Right. With regard to the issue, especially of eternity, but most people, if you'd say, well, you have teenagers, they're thinking about going to college. What colleges are they going to go to? What occupation are they interested in? What about buying a home, buying an expensive car, putting money away for retirement? All of those temporal things, they would put time and energy and maybe pick up Consumer Reports or do some research with regard to how they're going to put their money, where they're going to put their money, how much, and so on and so forth. But they won't take the same approach to where they're going to spend eternity.
Well, you know, it's frustrating, and again, I think it just the issue comes down to that A word, authority. It's when I'm going to buy a car, for example, I'm in control. Mm-hmm. I make the decisions. I choose what I will do, what I will not do, and then the decision that I make is the correct decision because it's mine. When we're talking about eternal life, we leave the realm of what we would perhaps call the natural. We move into God's realm, in a realm that is supernatural, where we have absolutely no authority nor control. And for most people, we're completely ignorant of it because we're ignorant of the Scripture that reveals that to us. And so therefore, we kind of stay away from that. We say, well, who knows that? And one religion's as good as the next. And people walk around, they live in denial. They think perhaps death will never come. And when it comes, well, just find a holy person. You know, get the Cliff Notes. Just give me the Cliff Notes. Don't give me a big book. Don't give me some authoritative writings. Give me the Cliff Notes. Just tell me what I have to do to make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we have millions upon millions of people that live their lives accordingly, never knowing what the Lord has said, never knowing what he's accomplished for them, simply blindly following the religions of either their youths or their predecessors or their culture around them,
yeah,
ignorant of the righteousness of God.
Right, and or even as you said earlier, with regard to cafeteria Catholics.
Right.
I could say I was that to some degree. I considered myself a devout Catholic, but I still, there were issues, there were teachings of the church that I didn't like, and I thought I could avoid them.
Right.
Or at least put them out of mind. But there are also some Catholics who, cradle Catholics, they were baptized. They don't really practice the church, the teachings of the church, but they still hang in there for, you know, at the end of, toward the end of their life, for the last rites of the church.
They want to go to the picnic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they don't practice it.
Right.
And then they don't believe some of it, but they do hang in there. I mean, that's really interesting.
Well, you know, the question is, do they believe any of it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe the church is the authority, then obviously what it's saying is true. If you then are going to say, well, I don't believe that aspect is true, then you're in essence saying the church is not authoritative,
mm-hmm,
that you are the final authority. You then determine truth from error. And I guess that's the little God in each one of us. We all in our flesh, the yea hath God said society, I will be like the Most High. And that's part of our fallen nature. We want to run the show. We want to drive the bus. And I think that's where most people are headed today. The frustrating thing is that the Catholic who believes that, according to his own church, his eternal destiny is hell.
Mm-hmm.
He is a heretic. He is a schismatic. If you deny one point of the faith, according to Roman Catholic theology, there's no hope for you. You can't deny the real presence in the Mass and expect to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the holy days of obligation and all sorts of other things like that. Why would someone profess to be something? Why would you profess to be a Mormon and deny that Joseph Smith got revelation from the angel Moroni?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, there are people, Mormons in particular, they call them Jack Mormons. There are people who grow up in the faith, never practice it.
Right.
It's more of a cultural thing. It's more of a social thing. But when push comes to shove and they're facing death, there's always that clinging to, and in the case of a Roman Catholic, to the last rites, to the viaticum, somehow receiving whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to get them at least to purgatory.
Well, I think you always grasp at what you know.
Mm-hmm. Even if you don't know it well, right?
Right. Even if you don't know well, you do the best you can. We grow up knowing that a fire extinguisher can put out a fire. If we find ourselves in the middle of one, we may not know how to operate it. We may not know which direction to point it, mm-hmm. but we run for it because we know or we've learned that that's a safety valve. And I think there are many people today that are trusting in religious practices and religious efforts or forms of human achievement, and they don't have a clue as to why they're doing those things. Greg, not a clue at all.
Yeah, Greg, let me direct this at you. Now, you said earlier there are some who set themselves up as the authority, or they're the authority in terms of picking and choosing. That's something that the evangelicals are accused of because they look to the Bible. How is that different?
Well, in some ways it's not, in the sense that in the what we would call maybe neo-evangelicalism, you have people today who want to not allow the scripture to be authoritative, but they want to appeal to the empirical side. They want to appeal to their emotions.
Experiential.
I feel this. I sense that.
Mm-hmm.
God just sent me an email or a fax this morning. Therefore, I don't have to believe his written record. When we find people who actually go to the scripture, set aside their presuppositions, set aside their opinions and their feelings, and read the Word of God and let it say what it means and mean what it says, then there is no disagreement. Mm-hmm. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. People say, well, there's so many Protestant denominations where Catholics, we have such tremendous Catholicity. The only deviation is where people refuse to allow the scripture to be authoritative, and they want to insert some personal opinion or conviction, and that's really, if you trace the history of denominations, that's how a majority of them started. Some man, some individual got an idea that he wanted to deviate from the scripture, and subsequently, you know, 50, 100 years down the line, we have a whole denomination that's based on error.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be saying that every denomination has a gross error with regard
to... No,
because some of it has to do with the administrative aspects of the church.
Surely. Well, then that's what I'm saying. Sure. The name over the door means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can call yourself the church of what's happening now. It doesn't make any difference. It's what is the authority? Is the scripture authority the authority, or is it denominational beliefs and practices that supersede the scripture?
Right.
So it's always the function, not the form. The form will change,
mm-hmm.
but the function must be the same, mm-hmm. and the scripture must be the authority.
So, again, I'll direct this at you. So you're submitting to God's Word. It is the authority. You're not saying that you're the
absolutely.
Authority.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Our standard practice is if there's something biblical that we're not doing, tell us, we'll do it. If there's something that we're doing that's unbiblical, tell us and we'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the authority is God's Word. It's not the function. I mean, it's not the form, but it's the function. So if our form is incorrect, we'll change it. We just want our function to be correct. How do we function as born from above, born again believers in Christ?
Right.
The Word of God reveals that to us.
Yeah, and right, you're not making this up. This is
right.
What God's Word claims.
Right.
Psalm 119, verse 160, the entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. That's God's Word.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tom will continue his discussion on the subject of authority next week with guest Jim McCarthy. You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics, and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Simply, Reaching Catholics for Christ is compelled by Christ's love to present the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, to those who are trusting in any means of gaining eternal life contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Our hope, prayer, and encouragement is that all who call themselves Christians will take to heart the words of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Gary?
Now, Tom and Greg will respond to questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
In one of your earlier programs, Tom McMahon said that he grew up Catholic prior to Vatican II in the 1960s. Isn't he aware of the sweeping changes that took place in the Roman Catholic Church after Vatican II? Well, it's an interesting question because I wasn't really, well, maybe a little bit affected by Vatican II, but this was, I'd say, probably a decade after Vatican II. When I really left the faith. It's really when I came to Christ. But looking back on Vatican II, I would say there'd be, in terms of sweeping changes, first of all, superficial, yes, to the objection to many Roman Catholics from the Latin Rite, those who believe that only the Mass can only really to be legitimate can be said in Latin, to others who object to sort of ecumenism that came out of Vatican II. But as far as substantial changes, I can't think of one. Can you, Greg?
Well, there were no doctrinal changes at all. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Vatican II reaffirmed the proclamations of Trent.
Correct.
And every ecumenical council is said to be infallible according to Catholic beliefs. So it would be utterly impossible for any council to contradict a prior council, because that would be the end of their cry of infallibility. So Vatican II, obviously, they turned the priest around, they faced the crowd, changed the Mass from Latin to English, did some other, as you say, superficial changes.
Right.
Absolutely no doctrinal changes.
Yeah, referred to us as
separated
brethren.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting, because prior to Vatican II, I can remember as a young boy growing up and going to St. Mary's school, elementary school, on my way home from school, we, young Catholics, would avoid the Baptist church, the shadow of the Baptist church. We would walk around it. So there was definitely there was a great antagonism between Catholics and Protestants, at least in our heart and our mind at that time. And things then began to change after Vatican II. But again, the Catholic Church changed no substantial teaching, which it cannot,
right,
because of its teaching of infallibility. On the other hand, they have, I think, developed a facade of not just ecumenism, but evangelicalism. Catholics after Vatican II were doing some things that lots of evangelicals, now the separated brethren, were doing, from Bible studies to... do you think this has been helpful, or has it been really become a problem, Greg?
Well, helpful for whom? Obviously, it's been helpful to Rome, but certainly not helpful to the cause of Christ, despite the Vatican's claims. As a matter of fact, a recent announcement, I believe last week, a week before last, from the Vatican claiming that the Roman Catholic Church is the exclusive way to heaven. But the focus on one word that you brought up, they changed our name to separated brethren, but note, we're still separated. And if Rome is the only means to eternal life, and we are separated from that, again, their teaching remains the same, unchanged for centuries. Only Roman Catholics go to heaven. Everybody else does not. And that's their official teaching. Now, you know, again, people nail us and say, well, they're bashing people. Well, I think some of those proclamations they make, if somebody wanted to make a bigoted statement, certainly those would be it, claiming to be the exclusive way to everlasting life and the exclusive way to truth. And they might say, well, Protestants do that, or non-Catholics or other denominations. And I would say anybody who claims that they're the exclusive way or they have the truth has a key earmark for a cult. The truth is God's word, as the Lord said, sanctify them with the truth, thy word is truth. And every person who has trusted in Christ is part of that universal or Catholic family of God. And so
Catholic
Rome,
with a little c.
Right, with a little c. Rome made some changes, but no doctrinal changes. And with that, obviously, according to them, there's still only one way to get to heaven, and that's by being a Roman Catholic.
I've heard some evangelicals refer to Catholicism as the Galatian heresy. Could you explain what that means? Well, first of all, what this questioner is referring to is the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And Paul addresses those who lived in Galatia, and his concern was that he's writing to believers, and he's concerned because some have come in among them, which have been called the Judaizers or the circumcisers, and they have said, yes, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and lots of basic doctrinal ideas came across, but they said, but to truly be saved, you need to be circumcised. So they added something to the gospel, and that something was circumcision. Greg, what can we add to that?
Well, we can say that the book of Galatians is referred to as the Magna Carta of Christian liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole message is that we have been really delivered from religious bondage, religious oppression. Paul says he was afraid of the Galatians because they had reverted back to religious works, even to the observance of days, holy days, and feasts, etc. He said he was afraid of them. He was amazed and referred to them as old foolish Galatians. He said, who have beguiled you or bewitched you that after coming to the grace of God, being saved, that you would revert back, in essence, go AWOL to a system of religious works or human achievement? And obviously, Romanism is classic because while it has a facade of grace, or it says, yes, it's truly by the cross that we're saved, it adds to that all these other things that they contend are necessary for salvation.
Right, far beyond what the circumcisers were
adding. Much, much further.
And what does Paul say about that? He calls that another gospel.
Right.
And then he really gets tough. He said, let them be accursed, condemned, in the Catholic terminology, anathematized.
Right.
For this false gospel.
That's right.
So this is the Galatian heresy, and it can be applied to Roman Catholicism, but it can be applied to any Protestant or evangelical denomination which adds, works, some would call it legalism.
Right.
When something plus Christ, something's added plus Christ, you have really denied the gospel, which is a free gift. Works play no part of it. The only work that could accomplish salvation for us is what Christ did on the cross, and he did fully and completely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't put it better.
If you have questions for Tom to address in a future broadcast, stay tuned. We'll let you know where to send them in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. If you would like to contact Greg Durrell at Grace Evangelistic Ministries, call him at 800-426-7625. Our ministry offers many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0960, and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in next week for another edition of According to God's Word.